Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. It's great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In the early morning hours, while most of you, except for Kevin, were asleep, Adrian Peterson was placed on the exemption list, which essentially it goes back to what we talked about yesterday. Essentially suspending him with pay. That's about what it comes down to.
I think that's the right thing to do. You said without pay, right?
I said with pay.
Oh, okay, that's what I wanted to clarify.
I said with pay. Suspending him with pay has always been the way. That's what I said specifically yesterday. Suspend him with pay. That way you don't take away his livelihood, which allows you to at least let the legal system do what they're supposed to do, thus presume innocence until proven guilty or until you plead guilty.
Correct.
Well, one or the other. So you don't take away their livelihood, but at the same time say, you know, we're not going to play you till this is resolved, but we will still pay you. So you're suspended with pay. Well, that's essentially what they did, and expect Carolina to do the same thing with Greg Hardy before the Steelers game. Hardy did not practice yesterday, or today, I should say. He left the practice facility there. I think for the first time in all of this, the NFL finally has a handle on how to handle it.
No, I think that's the right thing, and I think, and like you said, we talked about this yesterday. I think it's the right thing is to suspend him with pay until you find out what's going on, and then when the information starts coming out, then you can make a final decision on what to do.
Right. So in other words, you let the legal system do what in reality is its job, which is to determine guilt or innocence, and if there is guilt, then a punishment. Right? And you continue to pay them. That is your way of saying, look, okay, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty, but until said time, you will get a paycheck from us like you always do, but you're not going to play any games for us right now. We don't, you know, because this needs to be resolved first so that we know exactly what we're dealing with.
But Steve, did they do this for the right reason at the right time, or did they do this because of pressure from the fan base, the public, and the advertisers?
What advertisers are dropping the NFL? Well,
there's been discussion. You know, there's been discussion of Radisson for one with the Minnesota Vikings directly.
That's fine, but that's there are advertisers that are shying away from the Redskins because of their nickname. So I mean, there are always issues.
But you also have Pepsi now being one of them. You also have Anheuser-Busch discussed.
Who has dropped?
They have not dropped yet. That is correct. They have not dropped yet.
So that's a conversation is that we're going to have Tony Knopp on to talk about all this. And because here's the bottom line. You want to know what the bottom line is? What was the number one show last week on network TV?
Thursday Night Football, wasn't it?
No.
With 21
million?
The
number one show last week for television was Sunday Night Football between the 49ers and the Bears. Okay. Thursday Night Football was number two. I know it's a hard blow for you to take that the Steelers were not the number one position.
The way they played, I can understand why.
No, but the number one show at 22 million plus was Sunday Night Football.
So Sunday Night Football got about another million than Thursday night, but you're still talking about a pretty good chunk of audience.
A million and a half, actually. So you got a million and a half more. Thursday Night Football is the number two show for the week. Do you know what the number three show for the week was?
There wasn't another primetime football game, was there?
Football Night in America.
Really? Now that surprises me a little bit. a pregame. I mean, basically a pregame show. That's interesting.
Well, the third part of it, the part that leads into the game, starts at 8 o'clock.
That's true, but see, I'm thinking, yeah, because your prime time is going to start at 8, not necessarily 7. I'm thinking you would lose a little bit of the fan base based on the games ending in that 7 o'clock hour. But you're right. When you look at it as starting at 8, that's where your money is. Right.
Then the number 4 show was 60 Minutes.
Which, by the way, follows the NFL.
Right. But then on for 18 to 49... The number one show, 18 to 49. I have all the numbers here. Let's see.
Big Bang Theory?
No, just hold on 1 second here. Here are the top 10 shows for the week overall. This is overall.
Okay.
Sunday night football first. Thursday night football second. The only two to draw over 20 million viewers. Football Night in America, part 3, was third. 60 Minutes 4, America's Got Talent 5, America's Got Talent 6, Big Brother 7, Miss America 8, Big Brother 9, America's Got Talent 10. There are only 5 shows only over 10 million. There are only 2 shows over 12.5 million, and they both cracked 20, and that's, of course, the two games themselves. Among the viewers, 18 to 49, the number one show, 18 to 49, Sunday Night Football. The number 2 show by a full rating point, Thursday Night Football. The number 3 show, Football Night in America Part 3. 4 60 Minutes, then 5, 6, and 7 were all Big Brother. 8 was America's Got Talent. 9 MasterChef, and 10 America's Got Talent among 18 to 49 viewers. Now let's go to cable. Your cable top 25. The number 1 show for the week was
Monday Night Football
from 6:55 to 10:13. The number 2 show from 10:13 to 1:29 a.m., the finish of Monday Night Football. Then number 3 is Sons of Anarchy on FX. 4, The Kelly File on Fox News. 5, 6, and 7, WWE Entertainment on USA. 8, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta on VH1. 9 was NASCAR Sprint Cup on ESPN. And 10 was Thursday Night Football on NFL Network.
Yeah, that's the one I was waiting to hear, because I know the NFL Network numbers were not as low as I thought they would be with it being on broadcast TV.
Right. So those are the cable ratings. And again, what's the common denominator between the two? The number one shows happen to be the NFL. So it's not translating yet into ratings. They are not taking a hit yet in ratings. This will be an important week to see if there's a fall off in ratings, but I think they finally have started to handle it. Now, the 49ers, for example, still have to handle what I consider to be the hypocrisy of suspending Ted Robinson, their play-by-play guy, for 2 games because of what he said on his talk show and was referring to her staying with him, marrying him, and he used the word pathetic. And I just kind of loosely put it all together there, so I apologize. I don't have it all in front of me.
Well,
he got suspended for 2 games.
Right.
Ray McDonald's playing.
No, I totally agree with you there. That makes no sense to me.
Right, you have one person who's talking about it, and you have another person accused of the act. The person accused of the act is playing.
Now, did he say something you probably shouldn't have? Yes. I mean, everything was fine up until the last sentence, and then I could understand why everybody would be upset about it. But the guy that actually, committed the act is still playing football. That makes no sense to me. If you're gonna suspend your announcer for it, for talking about it.
I mean, did he use the words he should have used?
No, I think he chose his words poorly.
Right.
Now, that being said, again,
for a guy who, by the way, is an outstanding communicator.
Yes. I mean, he had everything was fine except for the last sentence where he used the word pathetic. That's the one that was wrong. And I understand that. But again, when the player that created all of this is still playing and you decide to suspend your announcer, that's wrong. There's something wrong there.
Okay. So, Now, the 49ers are standing behind him at this point. Now, there's a glare, obviously, a spotlight. McDonald has not been formally charged with a crime. Now, remember that. Let's remember, Ray McDonald has not been formally charged with a crime. He was released on $25,000 bail after the incident. A scheduled court hearing Monday was postponed. A new date has not been set. San Jose police have stated that they would not finish their investigation until the end of the week. Now, let's remember, he hasn't been charged with anything. Police were, there was an August incident in which McDonald's fiance showed police bruises on her neck and arms leading to his arrest.
Well, am I wrong in thinking, though, that if you were in another job, not the NFL, that you probably would have been suspended without pay pending an investigation?
Well, what's important here is what Bob Buhner points out to us all the time. And Bob, deeply ingrained in the legal system as his life for years, that people are given the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. Take Ray McDonald. He's arrested. She showed bruises. Okay? And now you have to, again, we didn't see the incident. We don't know. Okay? Did he do it? Maybe. Did something happen to her and then she's angry at him? You're trying, let's come up with like wild excuses here. Okay? And he didn't do it. I don't know. We don't know. That's why the legal system has to sort it out. If he's formally arrested for it, then this idea of suspension with pay comes up. But he hasn't been arrested for anything yet.
Has there been? Can you say the word accused, Steve? Is that appropriate, or is that a good description of what's going on? There's an accusation of it? I mean, he hasn't been charged. Obviously, he hasn't been convicted, but there is an accusation. Is that correct?
Well, there's an accusation.
Okay.
I mean, look, the Ravens back Ray Rice, and the Vikings publicly backed Adrian Peterson. Correct. Now, both have dramatically backed off. Greg Hardy received. Now, McDonald was actually arrested August 31st. Following the domestic violence incident with his pregnant fiance.
There was an arrest. Okay.
There was an arrest. Okay. He was arrested for it. But he has not been formally charged with the crime. See, there's the difference. He was arrested, released on bail, but they haven't formally charged him yet.
You know, there's something that keeps running in my mind, though, when you hear different positions, like if you're in law enforcement and you're being investigated, a lot of times they will pull you off the street, quote unquote, pull you off the street with pay or suspend you with pay pending an investigation. That's right. What I think is acceptable in this particular case as well.
Right. Well, the NFL, in terms of the suspend with pay, which, by the way, you and I talked about Monday and Tuesday as an idea to deal with this. Evidently, at 1:45 in the morning, that appeared to be the way to go by putting him on this list. All right, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, coming up.
Central Pennsylvania truck buyers, this is the event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors September New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to $9,000. That's right, $9,000. Choose from over 100 F-150s, the number one selling truck for 37 consecutive years. SMC has over 100 new F-150s starting as low as $22,859. Sunbury Motors has 25 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to historic lows starting at $19,890. isn't done there. Take $8,500 off new Expeditions and up to $9,000 off new 2015 Super Duty trucks. Every new vehicle is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year, and financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months is available on many models. Hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza during this unprecedented September new truck sale. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Nubbles Wharf. Kevin has gone Kia on us this week. Great choice.
Yeah, it's the Kia Optima SXL Turbo, the 2015 model. With 274 horsepower, 2.0 liter engine with a highway rating of highway mileage rating, I should say, of 31 miles per gallon. And did you ever make a turn, Steve, into a lane? You're like changing lanes and you have a blind spot and you don't see a vehicle in the blind spot?
Well, all of us have done it.
Yeah, I have that same issue, and I heard a beep the other day. And I'm like, what in the world is that? Obviously, I didn't change lanes, but I had my turn signal on. When you turn your turn signal on, the vehicle will actually look into the blind spot and alert you if there is a vehicle in that blind spot. One of the features on the 2015 Kia Optima SXL Turbo. So you never have to worry about trying to bend your neck around in a circle to try and see through the blind spot.
Well, that's at Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 Hummel's Wharf, and of course, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Say, I want to drive the car Kevin's driving. So, all right. I know this is the part you dread every month.
Actually, this is a particular, for some reason right now, it seems to be more and more intriguing than it ever has been, because the business of sports has taken over sports lately.
Well, let's bring in the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, Tony Knopp, for our monthly visit. Tony, welcome. It is great to hear you again.
Thanks, Steve. Good to catch up.
Well, as always, there's a lot to catch up on. Let's start with Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice. You deal with corporate partners. They have to make investments. Now, we see, obviously, individual companies, Castrol Oil, so forth, drop from Adrian Peterson. We saw this happen with Tiger Woods when he went through issues. What does this do overall in terms of when you have talked with them about how they feel about the National Football League in general at this hour?
You know, there's a few interesting things about it, and there's a lot of sentiments that are shared across the board that almost go without saying about how abhorrent it is. What's been the most fascinating is just how incredible the political capital the NFL has had to be able to withstand, and they haven't withstood it in the sense that, you know, it's morally terrible and there is outrage, but the ratings are still going, which is incredible. I mean, the fact that you can have quite possibly the two worst possible things that could happen, and you still have people supporting the league as fans. Now, for the corporations, I think we're starting to reach the breaking point. I think, you know, business only goes so far, and they need to tie their brands to, you know, a product that doesn't just help them drive business, but it helps represent the brand. And, you know, the fact that somehow, despite so many missteps, the NFL somehow held on to all of their sponsors during the Ray Rice incident, this is only going to make things worse. And I think what we are going to see is a little bit of a change in the sponsor approach to it. But the amazing thing about it is, when are we going to see the change in the ratings? When are we going to see the change in attendance? Because it hasn't happened yet.
Well, the initial Sunday night game to the second Sunday night game did see a drop from about 23.5 million to 19 million.
Mm-hmm.
How close should we watch the Carolina Pittsburgh game? Because the Steelers do have a national brand, so that may help. How close are you going to watch that number this week?
I think I want to see how it does against last year in comparable games. It's still driven by teams. The Steelers do have a national brand. Team's not playing all that hot right now, and the Carolina Panthers are not that much of a national brand. So if they end up in that range of where we were last week, I think it's going to be fine for everybody.
Okay.
And that's the really hard part for corporate sponsors right now is, look, you know, a lot of times people have this sentiment that, you know, corporations are soulless and they're looking for nothing but profits. But I know these people. I know the ones who are signing these contracts, and they're not okay with this either. And what they're trying to do is find a way – to really find a way to get the NFL to be responsible. And it just hasn't happened in the past few weeks.
Right. When you have talked with them, now that, now they're in contracts, they can pull out if they want, but they still
have all of these contracts. All of these contracts have terms in them that allow them to pull out for things like this. There's right. moral clauses, there's morality clauses, there's, you know, all kinds of different things. I mean, all the way up to, you know, clauses for natural disasters. So many of them can get out of these deals. And the problem that they run into is, okay, the NFL has been a major piece of America, and it's basically the national pastime for quite a long time. And if you're looking at it like a sponsor and you're saying, okay, the league in general's history is being affected currently by a regime that's not running it well. Is that something we want to walk away from forever, or is it just, is it the league itself, or is it the leadership in the league that can be changed? Right? With Tiger Woods, it's easy. It's Tiger himself. You were sponsoring the Tiger Woods brand.
Right.
Right? And just because there's incompetence at a very high level doesn't mean that there's incompetence at all of the team's levels. Right? Because there's not. There are some teams that are not handling this well. There's no question about that. But there are other teams that are run like appropriate, moral corporations that are doing a good job.
Exactly. Now, because the Sunday night game this week was San Francisco and Chicago. They are two established national brands. That's
very
why.
Established national brands at a new stadium.
Right, at a new stadium. And there was a slight drop from opening week to second week. Now, that's not uncommon to go from week one high. What about Thursday night? Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing about Thursday night.
Thursday night so far is doing well. I think there is a pretty clear schism, so to speak, in the high levels of the NFL about how much is too much. You know, there's a lot of owners right now that don't like the Thursday night games.
Right.
They think that it's shortening the season, or that the short week is affecting the quality of play, and they do look at their players as assets that they're investing in, that they've recruited to their team, that they've gotten on their team, however they have, and that those assets are now at risk. Thursday night is still doing well. I think we've reached a tipping point. I don't think they go beyond Thursday night. Just right. based on what I'm hearing from sponsors, based on what I'm hearing from, you know, the TV rights that'll get done for how much money, and we'll just have to see what happens this season. I don't think we're going to see a drop. I think this is as bad as it can be. I really do believe that. This is a terrible, terrible thing the NFL is dealing with, and the ratings are still there, and the ticket sales are still there.
Right. By the way, the number one show for the week was Sunday Night Football, despite the drop.
No question.
The number two show
and
for the week. The number two show for the entire week was, by the way, Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football, yep.
Number three show for the week. Okay, now this is all post-Ray Rice. The Peterson part hadn't entered into it yet, okay? I think Peterson actually entered into it a little bit at this point. Because he did not play last week. So you have the number one show for the week on 9/14. Sunday Night Football, Bears and 49ers. Number two show, Ravens Steelers, Thursday Night Football. Number three show for the entire week, Football Night in America, the pregame show leading into Sunday Night Football. And then the number four show was 60 Minutes.
It's amazing that they have that much capital to have this kind of just fallout, and the fans still come, right? The fans are still coming, and that's the problem that sponsors are looking at and they're trying to deal with is, you know, there's always that knee-jerk reaction that this couldn't be more horrible. We all saw that video. It couldn't be more horrible. How can you possibly be tied to that league? You need to cut your sponsorship, right?
Right.
And there's validity in that. And they feel the same way, right? They see it and think it's just as atrocious. At the same time, that's one player in a league where, yes, there are some that are out of control, but there are also some terrific role models.
No
there
question.
Are also there is also a history of a league that has done well by itself until recently. And so that is what makes it such a quandary for them. There's not an easy answer. They can't just turn around and say, okay, we're going to drop this. And, you know, if I'm Anheuser-Busch and I drop it and let Miller Lite or Coors come and take the sponsorship, who knows? Maybe there's a regime change in 2 to 3 years. The NFL is more powerful than ever. They get control of all of this, and now I lost what was one of the best sponsorships going.
And that's where they stand right now. We just went through the TV ratings. A key component in TV ratings, though, because you have the diehard that's always there. It's the casual fan, and in this case, the NFL, a lot of that casual fan happened to be women.
Yep.
The corporate partners you have talked with that direct their advertising toward women, what have they told you?
They're terrified. I mean, the reality is, and they won't say it openly and to the press or to the media, but you know, they're in the same boat where they say, look, we know how bad this looks. Is this an issue of the regime? Is this an issue of the league in general? Is this endemic to the institution, right? You know, something that's similar, you guys have been through the same thing with, you know, it maybe wasn't endemic to an entire institution of 50,000 people, but it was an institutional loss of control of a number of people. And so what they're trying to look at here is, where does our brand align? How does our brand align? And what kind of damage control can we do? You know, you read these things about how, you know, the sponsors come and say, we're unhappy with the league because of this. And people say, okay, well, that's just pandering. It's actually not pandering. They really are putting a lot of pressure on the league to say, do you have a reasonable process in place to assure that this will never happen again? Because you didn't have a reasonable process in place for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just so much that these terrible things happened. It's that the terrible things happened and there weren't controls in place for them. And almost any corporation in general has those controls already in place for these kinds of things. And that's what they're calling on. They're saying, listen, if you're going to pay your commissioner $44 million a year, you need to have processes and controls in place so that when these things do unfortunately happen, you have a strict enough disciplinary system and process, and you have it documented both with the labor negotiations and with your league so that this is it doesn't become an endemic, right? It doesn't spread, and that's what's happened. It's spreading.
Does it become even more confusing when the San Francisco 49ers do not suspend Ray McDonald, but they suspend their play-by-play announcer, Ted Robinson, because they didn't like the comments he made on his talk show?
Yes, it does. I mean, the reality is, you know, I am born and raised a 49er fan. I love the 49ers. But, I mean, at some point, you have to look at this and say, last year you let Aldon Smith play for a week and then suspended him after the big game, right? Then you're letting your star player play, but then suspending the play-by-play announcer. And that's where the sponsors are upset. They're saying, listen, you don't have processes and disciplinary processes in place that are treating this like a democracy and treating this where there's a moral code that we follow. You're basically saying some players get a little bit more leeway than others, right? And that's where the outrage is. You know, it's very simple to say, what did Roger Goodell think happened in the escalator or in the elevator, right?
Right.
I mean, she was unconscious. Any of us who have seen somebody get knocked unconscious know it's a violent act, and you know it's much more visually abhorrent when you see it, but you know that that's what happened. And I think that's the big pushback is, you know, this, you're treating people differently, you don't have a process in place. How long can a brand hold on to this? The reality is, most other leagues, these brands would be gone.
Right.
They'd be gone by now, but the reality is they're treating the NFL the same way sometimes the NFL is treating star players. Look, I mean, if we walk away from our NFL sponsorship, the reality is in 4 to 5 years, when they do have this figured out, when there's different leadership in place, we're not there anymore. And if you're like an Anheuser-Busch and you've spent $200 million on the NFL since 2011, that's a decision that needs to be taken in depth and in detail, and it just simply can't be a knee-jerk reaction.
Tony, right now, across the board, what are, for corporate partners, what are the big buys right now? What are they buying where they're going to put their reputations out there? What leagues, individuals, where are the buys right now?
You know, it's fascinating. It's, as we spoke before, it's international is growing so fast. They are looking for ways to get their brand internationally, both in China and in Europe, more in China than anywhere we've seen. Trying to find ways to bring the Western approach to sports over there. They have suites now. They have buildings that have, you know, 50, 60, 70 suites that they're selling both to Western companies and to the companies in the Far East. But locally, what we're seeing is the rise of the MLS, right? And everybody kind of rolls their eyes when I say that, and then you put the numbers in front of people and you say, look at how effective they are with the youth. Look at how effective they are on TV right now. Look at where they are, as opposed to where like an NBA was in 1982 and 1981, as opposed to where the NFL was when they were starting to make their move. And people start to realize, wow, we've seen this before. And, you know, if these leagues at the top, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NFL, don't start making changes that allow themselves to build that next level of fan, that next fan coming up, we're going to see them continue to grow, and we're going to see them become a major player. I mean, look, in my lifetime and in yours, Major League Baseball ceded the mantle to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We may see that again in the next 20 years.
NBA for a moment. Post-Donald Sterling, Hawks thing had some run briefly and then kind of flew under the radar. Ticket-wise, and you deal with a lot of teams, Tony, how are they doing ticket-wise heading into this season with no lockout, LeBron back in Cleveland, and so forth?
Haves and have-nots, and they've got to figure it out. There is an endemic in the NBA right now in that you have teams just openly tanking, And we all know how that affects ratings and everything else, but it's really hurting ticket sales. And you have owners trying to figure out how to bridge that gap. And they don't really have, they haven't figured out a way yet to really punish somebody for tanking year in and year out. They want everybody to approach it the way like a Mark Cuban does. He says, every year I'm going to do my best to win a championship, right, and I'm not going to tank. But the problem is ticket sales in you know, places where the team is openly tanking, like in Philadelphia or in Boston or, you know, places like that, they're hurting badly. I mean, Boston, not long ago, 2-3 years ago, was an A game. And what I mean by that is all of these teams actually grade the games that come through. That's how they price their suites. It's how they price, you know, the premium stuff they do. They say, okay, Celtics are coming to town on a you know, Saturday. That's an A. Right. The Bobcats are coming to town on the, well, they're not the Bobcats anymore, but the Hornets are coming to town on a Wednesday. That's a D. The Celtics are a D now, right, in 2 years. A brand that extends beyond the NBA historically is considered a throwaway game now. And the NBA knows this is a problem.
Wow. Okay. Now, how about the strength of tickets for the NHL, which relies much more on in-house ticket sales for revenue as opposed to other sports?
You know, there's lies, darn lies, and statistics, right? The old thing. The NHL is doing great. When you look at them and they're trending and the way they've been going, you know, over the last few years since the lockout in 2004, everything points at this is, you know, enormous growth. Everything's fantastic. We're the best. We're the best. We're the best. But not really. I mean, look at where you guys were before the lockout. Look where you guys were in the mid-90s before there was, you know, three work stoppages that hampered the league. I mean, what you're basically doing is you're taking the sample size and you're cutting it to make it look good, right? Hey, since 2005, look at our growth. Yeah, but if we add in 2004 and, you know, all the other lockouts, you can see that there's actually been massive setback, and it's actually a much more subdued growth where they've kind of missed some opportunity. That said, they're selling very well. They're selling very well in their core markets. They're actually doing a pretty good job of getting those other markets up. The league actually has a team internally that works on taking best practices from places like San Jose into places like Phoenix and Carolina that might be hurting. And what people around the country may not know is that the San Jose Sharks are sold out every game, mm-hmm, and it is like going to a Red Wings game.
Right.
They have an environment there that feels like a Northeast hockey game.
There's no question. It's a great arena. I've actually done two basketball games in that arena. Great arena, great market. It's amazing because when they tried hockey out there before, when they did the initial expansion with Oakland, it didn't take. Now they're so ingrained. I mean, imagine if that team actually did really win beyond just, you know, winning a round in the playoffs.
It's incredible what they've done. And you know, they have conference calls, and we've sat in on a few of them, and I've even been on a few of them. And you know, they start going through the teams on the West Coast, like, how are you doing, Ducks? How are you doing? You know, a long time ago when I was with the Kings, they were the worst team in hockey,
right,
and nobody wanted to listen to the Sharks because they were sold out, and it was just a different world compared to what happens in Anaheim and San Jose and Phoenix and, right, you know, the other expansion cities that are in the West. And so what they're doing is they're starting to find a way to get those other cities up, and it's really helpful for the NHL when a big market that's not a traditional hockey market like L.A. is so healthy, because now you don't have that as a albatross, you know, showing up that, well, you know, it's a number two media market, but the team's doing okay. They only have 9,000 season tickets. You know, they're sold to the Gills. The team's winning.
Right. Back to the NFL for a moment. There has been, before the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, which is...
There's four of them, Steve. Four. We're not talking about two here.
Right.
Unbelievable.
I'm saying before the four, though, the lot of talk was about the Redskins and their name and their naming,
yep,
rights. And that had been a major crusade for others. In those you have talked to, does anybody care what the Redskins are called in the corporate world as opposed to, obviously there's a personal interest for any Native American, so but in the corporate world, how do they feel about that?
Unfortunately, I mean, they care. They absolutely care.
Yep.
They'll avoid that subject like the plague.
Got
they
it.
Want nothing to do with it because there's nothing to be gained for them. The unfortunate truth is sometimes these corporations have to treat this like politicians and say, okay, well, what's in it for me to stand up for this cause? And when you're a multinational billion-dollar corporation with shareholders who think on both sides of that, you don't have the same kind of leeway that a company like ours has to say, well, we actually are going to make a moral stand on something. So, you know, personally, when you talk to them, they feel the same way the rest of us do, that time for change, you know, it's you know, the times have changed, and you know, we understand both sides of the argument, but there's no need to be hurting such a large amount of people's feelings with insults, and that's what it is. But they'll never, ever say it, ever.
I think we covered a lot of ground.
Well, the interesting thing is just how the corporations look at it, right? I mean, the key point that is lost a lot in the media coverage is that, look, there's so much outrage, and there's rightfully so much outrage, but then why are they still watching?
Right.
Right? If you're so outraged that every sponsor needs to drop their sponsorship, why are we still tuning in and paying for all this?
Well, part of being a corporation that wants to attach their name to something is that they want all of us to see their name attached to it and say, I'll give you an example here at Penn State. Hey, you know, when you go into the store, I think I'll buy Pepsi. Okay? I think of my phone company, I think I'll go with AT&T. That's what they want. You know, so if they think it's an avenue to get you to do that, they're going to stick with it.
Absolutely. To a certain extent. I mean, until it doesn't make sense, right? Until it has tipped and now that association that people have is a negative one. That's, well, you know, I was going to buy some, you know, of Acme's product, but I don't like beating children, so I'm going to, you know, I don't want to support something that doesn't discipline people the way they should be disciplined for such an abhorrent act like beating up a child, that I'm going to buy another product.
Right.
And once that tips, you'll see it. They will run, and they want to. I mean, the reality is they all feel the same way we do.
Tony, always an absolute pleasure. Half hour flew by with complete ease. Thanks a lot for the time you carve out every month.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it again.
That's Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Charlie Wilmoth, Bucks dugout on the Pirates trying to surge to the playoffs. Next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.